Guys, just before we start, can I get a little audience reaction? How's it going?
Excellent.
How's it going? How's it
fabulous.
Going?
Great.
How's
evening.
It going? Brilliant.
Great. That's what they think of the Smarter Egg event in the interval. Here comes the leader. He's going to speak now. Aidan Enright. I'm sitting next to Ciara Feely. No, she's gone away with her. She's actually got, what do you call them, pearls. And I'm now sitting next to, let her introduce herself.
Ciara Cross and WeddingDates.ie.
See, we got a really good couple at this table, and Ciara with the hello, Ciara, hello. Ciara the pearls, you know, brand identifier.
Pearls of wisdom.
She's actually carrying a bit of food, and here comes the boss.
Is everything okay? I don't want to be annoying people. Okay. So, we were just talking in the break about the fact that the next speaker in LA featured in a very, I'm suggesting it's a famous First Communion picture, I think it was 1979. I actually think that was the year. So some of you are going, oh yeah, my parents were born around that time. But the next speaker is John Dennehy, and how I know John is that we were in school together up to the age of probably 7 or 8 years old. And we did feature in that famous First Communion photo. That is not why John is on the stage tonight. John is here because he has a message to share with us. And since hanging out with the likes of me for his First Communion in 1979, John has done a lot of exciting things in the world of business. He has been involved in internet businesses, tech businesses. He's had several startups over the past 15 years or so. If they say any more than that, we won't be getting impressed. But he's had a fascinating history. His most recent success is a company product called Zartus, which is all about connecting essentially the recruitment process through social media and so on. I hope I haven't butchered that, John. That's probably an amateur description of it. But John, tonight, is here on a related topic, and I think we'll find this interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Mr. John Dennehy.
I'm kind of, in many ways, an accidental entrepreneur. I kind of fell into the area of entrepreneurship about 15 or 20 years ago because I started working in South Africa and we put a magazine online in 1995. And we kind of got into the whole internet kind of boom cycle around then and also ended up in the internet bus cycle. So we went from kind of being on TV as young multimillionaires to being on the front page of Business Plus with tears in our eyes 12 months later. So I kind of went through that whole cycle. It was very interesting during the show of hands for the multinationals. I've never worked in a multinational. The biggest company I've ever worked in was when we grew some of the companies to around the 40, 50 people mark. And then we sold two companies as well. We sold and we became part of a multinational, and that wasn't to my liking. So the part of business I really enjoyed that early stage. After we sold our last company, I had no job, and I live in Cork, three kids, so I wanted to go to an office every day. So I rented an office, I went to the office every day, even though we had no business. But I kind of took a top-down view of the world and went, okay, where is the change happening at the moment and where the opportunity is going to be? And if you look at the scarcity of mineral resources and mass urbanization and globalization and increased use of cloud and increased use of social media, like that was where I started drilling down. Then I looked into kind of the HR and recruitment space, and I thought that's an area where it's going to be massive, massive impact and massive, massive change. So I put some money into a company myself about 3 or 4 years ago, and I went to a financier, and I said to him, look, this is the area that I'm looking at, and I think the opportunity is going to be here. So he said, look, we don't know what you're doing. We don't think you know what you're doing, but we think you'll figure it out. So over the last kind of 3 years, I've been trying to figure it out. We have a product, HR Locker, which is used by some medium-sized, you know, big companies to manage HR. We launched a social recruiting application called Zartus.com, last year. Xartis was also there in my first company in 1999. So basically what we were doing was trying to do a couple of things. One was unlock the potential of employees' social graphs to try and encourage them to bring difficult to find talent into a company. So looking to try and effectively disintermediate recruitment agencies. Because I don't know if you know the economics of it, like the average recruitment agent will get 15% of an annual salary for placing a person, so 15 grand or 50 grand higher is a 7.5 grand fee to the recruitment agent. Fighting recruitment agents is kind of pushing against an open door. Candidates don't like them, companies generally don't like them. I apologize if any of your recruitment agents so that was with Xartis, that's what we've been working on for the last year. We've got a growing number of customers in mostly in the US. We haven't really done anything in Ireland, and in terms of doing business personally in Ireland, I've really never done anything here in terms of selling into Irish companies. I've always sold abroad, which is why this project, when I'm looking at it, is quite interesting. I'm not going to pitch you the business, I'm not going to tell you about our price points and our cost savings. Kind of accidentally, we came up, we found a big problem, which I'm sure you probably are more aware of than me. And that's that the multinationals can't hire tech talent, and they can't hire the multilingual professionals they need to hire for the European HQs that they're all setting up over here. So whatever sales the IDA have done has been, an amazing one. And over the last 20 years, they've got incredible companies to set up their HQs here. And, you know who they are, right? Even locally, they're, the McAfee's and the Apples and the 10 Micros and the whole Quest Software, SolarWinds, some amazing companies in Cork. And you scale it up at a national level, we're used to hearing the Zingas, Twitters, Facebooks, LinkedIn, Microsofts, and Oracles. They're all here. Most of them set up their HQs here. They want to do business with European countries, and they're finding a big problem that they can't get the multilingual professionals and they can't get the tech developers. So that's a valid problem. I'm sure you all recognize it. The problem is equally valid in Cork as it is in the rest of Ireland. So what we have to do is basically... Apologize, it's Monday night and I'm talking about jobs and economics, but look, you can't go anywhere, so you're going to have to listen to me. We have to look at competition for talent as a regional issue. It's not just a company issue. Previously, we always thought, how does company A get staff from company B? But now the engine of growth in most developed economies is the innovation sector. And if we want that innovation sector to work effectively, we need a sustainable pipeline of talent going to it. So we need skilled people coming over here. Talent is footloose, they can move wherever they want to. If you're a Java developer, you can basically pretty much work anywhere you want in the Western world at the moment. So we need to think about this at a national level. What I was looking at doing was seeing could we get a campaign, Make It in Ireland, like Make IT in Ireland, where we could actually reach out to the world and basically send a clarion call to the rest of the world to say, look, we know you've got all the bad news about Ireland, we know it's been very pessimistic, some of the slides were shown earlier, we've been bombarded with. But we need to get a message out there that there is a dual-track economy in Ireland. There's a booming tech sector, and it's crying out for talent. And we need to reach and win the hearts and minds of European developers and multilingual professionals to actually get them over here. Because right now, people in Germany think we're falling off a cliff. And they're coming out of recession over there, the salaries are going up over there, and they have no idea of the opportunities here. The German inside sales staff is the number one outside tech skill that we can't get. We need to reach those people in Germany and tell them that there are opportunities here. The way to do it is to showcase the great companies that are here, to showcase the careers that are here, to showcase the actual people here. You can do a really cool video, like I'm sure most of you have seen the Vimeo or YouTube hit, 50 people, one question, Vox Pops, very kind of casual video style. We need to get to the people that are here from Germany, France, Italy, Spain, and wherever, and try and leverage their contacts to basically tell them about the jobs. Importantly for me, the recruitment agencies involved, it's still along the same lines as our core product. Mike spoke about storytelling. I mean, we have an amazing tradition, from an oral tradition of storytelling and in the written world and in art. We need to get that message. We need to harness our creative skills to actually get the message out to the world, to say Ireland is hiring and Ireland is a great place to be, to make it the number one destination of choice for skilled professionals worldwide. That's what I think the opportunity is, and it's a pretty big challenge, but I think that we're up for it. The way we'd get it out there is that we'd seed it online, so you get it onto the next way ever, Mashable or TechCrunch, which is typically picked up by the print journalists, which leads into radio and TV. I met a producer from CNN Business in Texas a couple of weeks ago. I told him what we were working on.
And he said, if you do that, we will definitely cover it. Because it's such an amazing story that Ireland, the fucked country, is actually hiring. And what are people doing? Industries getting together, and all the biggest tech companies in the world that are over here are getting together, and they're trying to do something to address the problem. It's a fantastic story. The people we're trying to reach are basically those, you know, young, tech-savvy professionals and multilingual professionals. There's a lot of research done by the IDA and why they might move here. It was interesting that if basically you went to an academy or university in Germany and you want to work in a multinational tech company like Facebook, your chances are incredibly low that you'll actually get that work if you don't have a technical degree. Whereas if they come to Ireland, they can actually boost their career by, you know, going to a Twitter or Zynga or Facebook, work here for a couple of years as a journeyman, and then head back to Germany or Holland or wherever they came from. There's also a lot of Irish expats that have no idea of the great opportunities that are over here. I know it's kind of myopic, I know there's 440,000 people unemployed, I understand that. But there are great opportunities for the right people in Cork, in Ireland, and basically in the rest of the world. I mean, that's going to be, it's going to be a kind of a friction point over the next decade that there's mass unemployment and a huge demand because of the skills gap. What I want to do is basically run a pilot to prove that the model works. We're close to that. We're talking to a bunch of multinationals about doing a kind of a local version in Cork, make it in Cork, and about doing a national one, make it in Ireland. So we hope that we're going to launch the project in the next 2 months with the support of some of the seriously big guys. In terms of funding, how would you do something like this? I don't have the deep pockets anymore. After going through the last couple of years of recession, you know, pet projects are gone. This project could be funded one of two ways. One is that we could look at it as something that industry does, which is probably what's going to happen. And the other way is that you could look at it as something that state or semi-state body does. If you actually drill down into economics, Mike has talked about, you know, how do you paint a picture with numbers, and how do you show how the numbers add up? In this, it's really, really simple, right? There's about 5,000 jobs in US Chamber of Commerce companies alone that can't be filled at the moment because of the skills gap. We can't invent senior Java developers in a year, and we can't teach people to be native German speakers in a year. So the long-term solution has to be training people up. But it's not a short to medium-term solution. All we can do is import those people. So the jobs are vacant at the moment, the positions are open, and we can't fill them. If we made a success of this project, if we could get 15 people, just say Cork, right? Forget the rest of Ireland, just in Cork. If we get 15 people jobs in the multinationals every month that previously weren't there, okay, that's 180 people a year. Lowballing the average salary, so if we said the average salary for those people is 35 grand a year, that's 6.3 million, I did the maths earlier, it's 6.3 million euros that's going to be so spent in the Cork, that's going to be created and spent in the Cork economy every year. That's just from the direct 35k salary for those 15 people every month, which is 180 people a year. But the impact is much bigger than that, because there's a knock-on impact. For every job created in the innovation sector, there's a multiplier of somewhere between, you know, the most pessimistic is 0.7 new jobs created, and, you know, the more optimistic ones are about 6x jobs created. So if we get those 15 people every month into Cork by running a social media campaign promoting this as a great place to be, filling the vacancies, creating more money in the local economy, we'll also create a lot more jobs. So the kind of the argument against bringing importing talent is that you're going to put people out of work, and 440,000 people out of work, why would you bring in, you know, Polish developers or German inside sales staff, and, you know, we've got to look after our own. We do look after our own if we bring those skills in, because we create the jobs in yoga instructors or in, you know, life coaching or bars and restaurants or whatever it is in the non-traded sector. So the crux of it, I want to do is launch about the next 2 months with 10 leading tech companies, and then if it's successful in the tech sector, we look at extending it into other sectors. And that's what we're planning on doing. It's a kind of project that we fell into. You know, all the kind of textbook stuff says find a really big problem and try and come up with a solution. We've been kind of scratching around at different kind of problems and trying to solve them. This one kind of, it landed on a desk because one of the big multinationals, the CEO basically was over here recently, and he said, you know, if we can't get the people, we're going to move the function, we're going to move the entire operation out of the country. And that's a conversation that's happening, you know, in boardrooms and multinationals And that's going to be a really big problem for us. So this is a small way that we can do something about it. I'd be very happy to answer any questions. I think I'm probably under the 15-minute mark.
You certainly are, John. You've earned the question. Actually, if you don't mind, if I may be as bold to ask a question, I'm sure a lot of people here are thinking, how can the people in this room help you with this campaign?
Thank you for asking that. You see, he stole my lunchbox 25 years ago.
Thanks for telling me 25 years ago.
So we have the website for Make It in Cork is actually built, and we have companies that are already signed up to it, and we have their jobs added, but we haven't actually put the site live yet. We do have Make It in Cork on Facebook, so if you go to Make It in Cork on Facebook and you like it, that would be fantastic. There's also Make It in Ireland, there's a Twitter account and there's a Facebook account for both of those projects. So if any of you like them, that would be great. The people that we really like, my view, the kind of the publishing world is that, you know, it's become, we're all content creators, we all create little pieces of content, like whether it's the words that we create or the photographs that we create. And the audiences are smaller, but it's the same as, you know, the old model for, you know, journalist works for magazine, writes an article, goes to the editor, goes to print 20,000 copies, gets shipped off. The landscape has changed. You know, we're all smaller content creators, we have smaller audiences, but in aggregate, it's equally as important as any of the previous mass media. So if, you know, if people comment on what we're doing or people like it, getting that message out to the social graphs of the people in this room is a really powerful thing. If we can kind of extend that to target expat communities from outside of Ireland who are actually over here, then that's a really, really important thing to do. You know, Gab survey in 2011 showed that people are 3 times more likely to migrate to an area if they know people in the destination. Most people in this room have probably moved to San Francisco or London or Sydney at some point in their lives and crashed on the couch of their friend. You know, that's the way migratory patterns work. So if we can actually leverage the social graphs of the expat communities that are actually in Ireland, that would be fantastic. And some of you will know them, so if you could tell them, it would be great.
Michael, yeah, John, just a question. You say you lost the pilot there, you say it's successful. What would you consider successful in that particular pilot?
I would consider a success if we got the project to a point whereby we were bringing 15 people into Cork every month that were getting jobs that weren't even here previously, which is... when it's up at a proper run rate, that's 180 people a year. And that's, like I was saying, the direct contribution of 6.3 million to the economy. Like, if you look at, we have the IDA bringing companies in, we have Enterprise Ireland pulling companies up, we have Tourism Ireland promoting the country abroad. Now, why now don't we have something, and maybe it's not us, maybe this is something government eventually will do, but why aren't there posters on the buses going around London at the Olympics saying, come and work in Ireland in the tech sector? You know, why do we do it for tourism, but we don't do it for migration of talent? I think the answer is a political one, that some political body could be waiting in the long grass for whatever minister came out suggesting this and would tear it to shreds. But I think, you know, when you actually look at the economics of it, there is no argument against it, or there's no plausible argument against that migration. So 15 people to start, that would be the starting point.
John. John, I have a challenge coming on Twitter to you. I was tweeting a bit of your content, and Kathy Dalton, who's a PhD research student, she's an architect, singer, closet geek, photographer, dreamer, with a nifty line in unfeasible shoes, still a blues singer in a parallel universe. She says, not if you're 48, to your argument that there are jobs available. You might like to just say something back to her. She's flagging up that there are no jobs for 48-year-old people in Ireland.
I think, you know, Marissa Myers, you know, isn't far off 48. I'm sure there'd be a job for her, you know. Bill Gates is, you know, post-48. I'm sure somebody'd find a job for him. So I wouldn't be ageist about it. I think there's opportunities there for anybody with the right skills.
I just thought I'd give you the. I don't know. She's
a Twitter one.
Get my fancy shoe in the ass.
Twitter is text, you know. Anyway, she'll get you an audio boot later. Okay.
John, isn't Enterprise Ireland doing something like this already?
Yeah, so we built that project.
Yeah, I was like, is that you as well?
Yeah, so it's happening here. It's called. Yeah. So basically, all the Irish indigenous tech companies are going to Enterprise Ireland, or lots of them are going to Enterprise Ireland, saying, we can't hire tech staff, and it's a particular difficulty in Ireland because we've got the idea of brought in all the multinationals, and multinationals are hoovering up staff with the share